Podcast. Hello and welcome to Extreme Gaming Podcast, episode 256. It's November 25th when you hear this. We're actually recording a little early, but that's okay. And we have two of us here, you see, and my co-host, Doug, is...
Who's the host, though? I'd like to know who this host is.
Introduce yourself first,
Gray.
Well, that's okay. I was deferring being polite.
See, because we usually have three people on and we're not doing it live this time, it's thrown it completely off whack. He's Gray Gamer, I'm Trev. How the hell are you doing?
There you go. So we're back again, as we are on every Thursday. Over here in the States, of course, today this is being aired as Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving to all our U.S. people that are listening right now. And for the UK people, we'll say happy Thanksgiving, even though you don't celebrate.
Yeah, the whole Thanksgiving thing, a part of it, I get why you do it, because it's such an old custom and tradition. Yeah. You know, it's just your timing sucks because you have a whole month piss up, basically, because you've got it just a month before bloody Christmas. Come on. Yeah. And then you've got Christmas, so it's just a big piss up for a while. No, it's an old thing to be grateful for the food on your table. I get it.
Well, it goes back to the original Thanksgiving, which was 1600 and something. I forget what.
Why do the Canadians do it then? Is it just to copy you guys? Because they have their own
that's
version.
A good question.
But no one else does it outside North America.
Yeah, I don't know if they call it Thanksgiving, though. I think they call it something different.
And
I think
it's a different... Canadian Thanksgiving.
Just I don't know. Day. Is it the same day? I don't know if it is the same
day. No, it's a different day.
That's what I thought. They also have like Boxer Day or something in Canada, I think. I'm not even sure what that is.
No, Boxing Day. We have that as well. It's the day after. It's literally Boxing Day. All your presents, you're supposed to spend all day flat packing things and putting them in the bloody recycle bin because you've got so many presents. Boxing, literally Boxing Day.
See, when I first heard that, I thought you guys were honoring boxing, people in the ring and knocking each other out.
Well, it's a very Scottish or British thing, isn't it? So, no, because we're not doing this live, right? So, for a couple of reasons, Gray deserves a bit of time off because he knocks his pan in. He really works hard with the editing and stuff, which we're really appreciative of. So he's allowed a day off, but we always like to get something out. And Matt can't join us just because he's a bit ill at the moment, a bit under the weather. So we wish you speedy recovery, Mr. Matt, and hope you're back with us soon. Yep. It'll be a mini pod today, but hey, you'll still get some banter and shenanigans out of us.
We're going to roll on as usual. And if the program ends up being a wee bit shorter, you know, we apologize, but that's just the way it is. But you know, as long as we're on and we're getting stuff out, that's what's more important to our fans that want to hear it. Because we don't do a show, we actually hear from people going like, "What happened? Did your show is it gone?"
And when to be fair, Greg, both of us take a lot of. We generally love the podcast. Mm-hmm. It's part of the reason that we took it over when our predecessor left it behind and we wanted to, because we didn't want to let it die. We have a lot of passion for it. Hopefully you've seen the quality and stuff improve, all the stuff we've done with it. There's some other things we're doing in the background as well, so only keep getting better and better, and we never like to miss a show. Even if we would rather pre-record something like this than miss it. If we really miss a show, then you know that we're really screwed and you know, everyone's dying or something. I don't know.
Yeah. And in fact, actually, even coming up towards when it gets to the Christmas holidays and New Year's, Thursday happens to fall on the day after Christmas and the day after New Year's.
I don't celebrate boxing. That's fine. It's all good.
But we will endeavor to do the usual show on those days. If not, they could be a shorter version just on the holiday.
It depends on Matt as well, because he's got a young family. Gray's family's all kind of grown up and whatnot, but people have got families, so it just
very
depends.
Very true. Well, and you got nieces and nephews, so that could be...
Well, it depends when I'm back or not. Yeah, but you'll have something. You'll have something, basically.
Yeah. I'll just go on alone, stare at the camera and go, "Hello?"
It's difficult to chat for yourself. When I do the Trekway stuff, man, it's difficult to actually chat yourself for a while. You'd be surprised.
Yeah, oh no, it definitely is. I mean, unless you have some interaction of something going on, it's a little hard to sit there and blab that long.
Just to steal a little bit of your thunder, Gray, apologies, because I know you're hosting this week. I know you get the paperwork out of the way, but I haven't done this much, shout out the podcast that I do along with Gray Outside Gaming, which is the Trekway. It's been a bit lower in terms of the number of episodes we'll put out just because we've had so much going on. But we just done a special there on the whole Spock and Kirk thing coming back from the Roddenberry archives, which we had a good 25-minute, 30-minute chat on that special called Unification. So come over and join us, and come over and check our Discord out and talk things Star Trek as well, if that's your cup of tea.
Yep. In fact, Discord is discord.gg/extreme gaming podcast. That's all one word. And over there, we talk, obviously, what we're doing now, you know, gaming and PC hardware. We also talk entertainment, science fiction, Star Trek, other stuff that pops up. So we have a good time. So if you want to join us, again, discord.gg/extreme gaming podcast. And if you ever want to submit any questions that you want us to answer for you on our podcast, just go ahead and put the question in there. You can be anonymous with the question if you want. It's fine. And then we'll go ahead and answer your question. Coming soon, or soonish, will be our website, extremegamingpodcast.com. If you go there now, you'll just say coming soon. You'll see our big logo that I just put up there. So we're going to do that fairly soon.
Great. I wish you took the domain extremegamingpodcast.gg. I wish you'd taken that one. Good game at the end, TG. Oh, well, it's done now.
YouTube, of course, for Extreme Gaming Podcast. Facebook, Extreme Gaming Podcast. TikTok, Extreme Gaming Podcast. Unfortunately, X, we couldn't get the gaming part, but it is Extreme Podcast, so that's a little different. Sorry about that. And you can catch us on probably other socials, too. I forget at this point.
You missed another announcement. My announcement. You can say it if you want.
Oh, I forgot. I'm sorry. My fault. December 6th, we're doing a gaming event. We only do them every once in a while, but depending on what kind of games are out there and stuff. But Russ is apparently going to be wiping, and we're going to do a whole game event where we're going to all join in as many people as we can to join in. Trev can tell you a little more about it because he's the Rust expert. He's the one that's done the 3,000 hours.
3,500.
3,500. Yeah. I've done 10.
yeah. Gray didn't even know he had it in his library. It's hilarious. No, it's something I've not played that game in over a year, and it is one of my favorite games. It gets updated every single month for free, more or less. And I just thought, let's take the guys in and show them ropes a little bit and show me the ropes because I haven't done it in such a while. There's so much to do in it. I was just thinking
we'd be lost if we're showing you the ropes because we don't know what the heck we're doing.
Yeah, well, I was trying to show myself the ropes actually, as well as you guys. No, I just want to have a bit of fun with it, not take it too seriously, not be one of these sweaty online guys. Just a chilled white PvE rather than a PvP. And I might actually just go to one of these kind of custom servers that I've been pointing out to the guys just to make it really fun, almost RP style, maybe. And we're just going to relax and have a laugh. And the wipe is, if it's vanilla, it's once a month. But that's more for hardcore players. I don't think I will go down that route for us because it gets a bit dull. So I might just go for a week or 2 week long wipe and we just have fun. Maybe a couple. We'll see how we go. I'll be doing some work in advance. It normally actually wipes on December the 5th. But that is a Thursday when we usually do our podcast. So I decided to just make it on the Friday instead at 7 o'clock. If some people can't join on that day, we will put the server name into the Discord, so look out for that. And you could just join us over the weekend when you can. Maybe we'll make it. I don't know. We'll see how we go. But keep your eyes on the Discord for more information. Matt, Gray, and myself at least will be in there. And whoever else wants to join us, you're more than welcome.
We'll try to announce it on the socials as well.
Yeah.
We'll put something up. And then if anybody wants to join, like I said, just come and join, you know, or if you just want to spectate, it'll be going out on Twitch. So you can just come on and, you know, join in the chat room or whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
All good. All good.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to move on to the first story and we're going to do my mod corner, Gray's mod corner. this is an article that Trev dug up for me, which I thought was kind of interesting. And apparently on Baldur's Gate 3, when it comes to the consoles, they're going to be limiting it to 100 mods. So in other words, you can only
100, Gray.
I know. I thought it was funny when I was reading this. So after 100 mods, it will disable any mods after that. first question, of course, is I never load 100 mods. I mean, at one time, I think the most I ordered put in was about 19 or 20 mods. That's it. That's all. But 100, and I'm going like, and these people are putting in over 100. So this is like very interesting.
What happens if you put in as many mods as that? Is it like Ghostbusters when you touch the streams, when you cross the streams, it just not collapse?
I don't know. I do know that if you want the so-called, well, what people's opinions are, vary, but if you want the so-called perfect Skyrim experience, okay, in all phases, and in other words, making it look great, making it look up-gen to our standards of graphics, blah, 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 you have to load in a minimum of that. It has to actually be even more than that. They even have these auto programs where they've actually taken the mods and package it all together into one like zip file, let's say, with a loader that will install it. So that way it's easier for people. They just double click and it starts to load in like whatever, 100, 200 mods.
Yeah,
and by the time you're done, it's finished and you can play. So
mental.
It is pretty well. I like mods, but I'm not so sure I'm going for 100. But yeah.
When I read this article and I thought maybe it could be a laugh for your mod corner, I just thought, even on PC, to have as many mods as this is more, it is a thing, but it's more of a rare situation to have as many in there. And then I'm thinking, oh wait, this is for the bloody console. This is for the PlayStation.
Yeah, not even PC.
How the hell can it handle that? But I guess,
well, they can't.
It's
That's
on
the
server,
and
doesn't it?
I said it can't really handle it. Well, that's the point. Yeah,
but it can handle if you go into the depths of that article though. Normally it has more than that, but there was a glitch stopping it having more than 100. So they limited it to 100, and I'm still thinking, wow, that is a lot. How does a console handle it? It must be server end. That's all I can think. Right?
I guess
you're connected to a server.
I never mess with mods on console, so I only deal with PC. So this is the first time I've heard that you can even run 100 mods. I just assumed you can only run a couple, and that'd be it.
When you do it on a PC, you either like go very manual and you start putting like files and shit into folder locations, don't you? If you're getting really into the nit and grit of it, but surely, or you could use Nexus mods or something like a tool that does it for you. But you're doing it locally in the machine for the most part, aren't you? So you can't do that in a console because it's more of a lockdown ecosystem. Yeah. Understandably, the nature of consoles. So it must be, I'm thinking there, not that I'm an expert on it, that it is more on the server end of things that you're actually doing this. So I found it fascinating anyway. That was a thing. Baldur's Gate 3, personally, is not my cup of tea. There's Coco, the dog. She's barking at the poor delivery driver. This poor delivery driver, man. Getting barked up.
Keep talking.
She's upset about someone. Baldur's Gate 3 personally is not my cup of tea. It's just that it's the genre of the game that I'm not a fan of. I can still admire the game without being a fan of it, if that makes sense. It looks stunning. It's won multiple awards. It's got great voice actors in it. Great gameplay. I can still see from the outside that it's a brilliant game. It's just not my cup of tea. But it's that type of game that is screaming out for mods, and it looks like not only has the PC version got it, but also the console version's got it as well. So yeah, limited to only 100 for now, Gray, until they fix that, and then we'll be up to whatever.
They are working on it. Larian says that they're going to release a fix, but they're not releasing it just yet. So in order for people to have a proper experience, you know, with their mods and stuff like that, they limit it to the 100. But as soon as they get the fix out, then they'll put it out, and then you can go back to loading in 101 or more.
101 Dalmatians. Okay.
I mean, between, you know, real life stuff and doing the podcast and our socials and all that, we don't get enough time sometimes to play games, but I started to play Baldur's Gate and like for an hour, and that was the last time I played it. I got to get back to it. At least Dragon Age, I've gotten more into it now, and I'll probably report more next time. But I am enjoying that one. In fact, in Dragon's Age, they brought back a character that I was very familiar with. His name is Varric, and he carries around this humongous crossbow, and he names the crossbow Bianca. He's always named his crossbow. He gives it a name, and it's called Bianca. And this has been going on for like since Dragon Age started, or this character started. So to me, it was fun because it was familiar. I didn't know he was going to be in the game as one of the companions. So I was like, oh, cool, Varric. So I was very familiar with him. So that was kind of neat. So
Bianca, that is hilarious. For those that are based in the UK, all I need to say to you is EastEnders, one of these soap opera TV type shows, great, but everything's over the top. There's a character in that, or at least there was, called Bianca. That's all I can say. That's hilarious. That is brilliant, man. Okay. Anyway.
All right. Well, if people are concerned about the 100 mods, then just hang in there. You'll be able to do more. But in the meantime, just be happy with the 100.
Yes.
And also to your question before, not all mods, you have to drop files and follow the directions. But if you are not using what they call a mod manager, then be very, very careful and follow the directions and make backups, because if you happen to drop the wrong files in the wrong folder, it could be detrimental to the game. So you want to make sure that you save your save files and anything else that you think you need to save, back it all up. Not your whole computer. I'm just talking about the game wise. And then go ahead and put the mods in. If it doesn't work, at least you know you can revert back. However, the mod managers make it far, far, far easier. I mean, and more people know this, so they've been making their mods usable in a mod manager. The cool thing about a mod manager in Nexus Mods is that when you load it in, and then you decide to take XYZ mod, you then load it in through the mod manager, and it remembers what game you put them in. So it could be multiple different games you have mods going, and it automatically picks up on the fact that you have XYZ mods in XYZ game, and then it reloads them in when you start the game up. The other cool thing is, let's say it's a mod that does something really particular, like, I don't know, allows you to have 5 companions instead of 4 or something like that. You can turn it on to have the 5 companions, or if you don't feel like having 5, you just turn it off and that 5th one will disappear or whatever. So you click them on, click them off, and very easily in the mod manager. Or a lot of times what I've done in the mod manager is I'll load maybe 3 mods, and all 3 of the mods are very similar in their graphic capability or what they've done graphically to the game. But I want to see what each one looks like. So I'll play it with one on, and then I'll look at it and go, oh, that's pretty good. Then I'll go in the next one and the next one, and then I decide which of the 3 I feel looks better, and then I just leave that one on. And you know, so it's so much easier to do that with a mod manager than having to pull files off and on.
100%.
Yeah. So the mod managers are very, and even in some of the other ones, Nexus is the most popular as far as mods go. But there's a couple other sources, and even the other sources I think are starting to use their own versions of their mod manager. So yeah. So look for that, because it's way easier. Anyway, okay. That's it for the mod corner for now. We'll go ahead and move on to the next thing with a little bit of hardware tech news. And apparently it looks like Samsung has come out now with a 500 hertz monitor. And it is a QD OLED, which is, that's nice, because having an OLED is great, because I have a 4K OLED TV, you do, so all that looks great.
And no. You and I have a LED TV, mate. We don't have an OLED. OLEDs, when the blacks are literally perfect pitch black, the pixels are turned off.
Mine's OLED.
Is what? Are you sure?
Yeah, 55-inch LG. Mine's OLED.
Oh, okay. You're talking about your TV, not your monitor.
Yeah, just talking about the TV as far as OLED is concerned.
This is an OLED monitor, not
a TV, of course. But
that's why it's impressive. It's because this is a gaming monitor and it's an OLED, which is, that's nuts for OLED. They're not usually, the panels are not usually the same kind of hertz level as an IPS panel. So it's really impressive, that stat.
Prior to the 500, LG was putting out one that was 480. But now, of course, competition. So Samsung's got a 500. They're going to go into mass production Q1 of next year, and then it'll be starting to be shipped out. Absolutely no price is mentioned. I'm sure it's not going to be cheap at all. There's a couple things about it that either is confusing or I don't like. They're saying that once they produce this thing, it's only going to be 27 inches. not bigger. So I'm like, you know, I've grown out of
the reason. Do I know the reason for that?
Sure, go ahead.
I know a little bit about this stuff. It's a bit of an interest, a bit of a passion. It's because all monitor stroke TV glass, like the pane of glass, is made from a single like mother piece of glass, right? Like, I don't know the official terminology of it, like a motherboard type thing. You know, it's the mother glass. It's like, maybe say for example, it's a 100 inch or 200 inch, and what they do at the factories, they then cut pieces from it. So depending on the technology they use, depends on the actual size of mother glass that they have available to them. And this is really advanced technology. This great QD OLED is the creme de la creme of display technology. It's right up there. It's the best. OLED always had this issue for ages of it wasn't always bright enough compared to an LED.
Mm-hmm.
But they had perfect blacks because you literally turned the pixels off. Whereas in these other TVs, these other LED TVs, they'll have like local dimming in the background and they'll have different zones. So if you look carefully between where there's a light and a dark scene, you'll see a bit of blooming sometimes. It's not perfect black. And you and I like a lot of like science fiction and space stuff. So OLEDs are actually ideal for us because right. We want the perfect black of space, you know, not like a grey space, you know. So it's kind of important to have an OLED for us. But having this background, I'm kind of losing my train of thought here, actually. Yeah, so OLED was never bright enough, so they're getting better at it. It's getting brighter and brighter over the generations. But QD OLED is the best of both worlds. It's literally, it brings another technology, another layer into it, where it can boost the brightness a lot. So you have the brightness and the peak brightness and the HDR, which is really important, but you also have the benefit of OLED, and you put them together. Samsung never done OLED until like a year or two ago. They always stayed out of it. And now they literally made, there's only a few people that really make TVs, like in terms of the glass, the panels, and then they sell it on to other people. Samsung are one of them. LG are another. And there might be like a third one or something. And then they'll sell them on. So Samsung Display is different from Samsung, the company where you would buy something in the shop. They're like another division. They'll sell, obviously, to Samsung. Samsung Display will sell to Samsung directly. Like, you're in their family, we'll give it to you. Same with LG. LG Display and LG are two different companies, really. Although, think of Alphabet and Google for the best example. And literally, this bit of mother glass there is advanced technology, so you can only cut so many sheets of glass out of it. And because this is really expensive, they're not at the stage where they can mass manufacture enough of them like your standard TV to make different sizes available. And if they could, mate, you'd be finding something like they could maybe cut two or three out of like 100 inch and they'd have to throw away the rest, and it would make each panel really expensive. So, sorry, that was really in-depth there, but I kind of find this fascinating. So
I find it interesting. That also kind of tells you right there that they're going to be expensive when they come out.
Do you understand the Hertz thing, though? It's IPS is what we've got for our gaming monitors, right? It's more of the LED technology, right? So it's easier to get brighter brights, but you don't get the perfect blacks, and you can refresh. You know, when you see a response time on your monitor of only 2 seconds or 6 seconds,
right?
Like if it's like six or, you know, kind of 6 seconds under, it's really fast. OLEDs are getting better, but OLEDs tend to not have the same kind of response rate, although they are getting better. And now to get an OLED with a kind of display refresh level that high is unheard of. You could get 500 on an IPS panel, an LED panel. That's been something for a while now. But to get something that refreshes as high as it does in perfect OLED quality with the brick, that is literally, you couldn't get any better if you tried, Gray. Really high display refresh, really high brightness, perfect blacks. That is the holy grail of display technology, and that thing will cost a bloody pretty penny when it comes out. It'll be expensive.
Yeah,
I mean, and it'll right be now, for the hardcore gamers. You know, the esports guys, it's only for them.
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, I have a 240 hertz, but I don't see any reason to go any higher than that. I like the way it is. It was worth the money. I actually didn't buy it for that reason, but it happened to be that way. So I just said, all right, I'll do it.
What the heck? 1440p you have, isn't it? You gave me 1440p.
It's 1440p. It's a QHD curved monitor, 32-inch, and I love it. I mean, it's great.
You won't notice, Gray. You don't need anything else. I'll be honest with you, man. No. I've got a 4K 144 hertz panel, but it's IPS technology. It's LED. When I upgrade my PC next year, I will. I don't know if I'd get this QD OLED. Maybe if I can afford it, but I would like an OLED 4K panel at 240 hertz. That would still be expensive. And the reason I'm thinking that, Gray, is I want to future proof myself. The only thing is, OLED technically, although it's not really an issue as much now, can still technically suffer from burn-in. And there's things to mitigate that because they're organic pixels behind the screen. That's why if you see a black scene, they just turn a pixel off. Whereas if it's a LED, a zone of so many pixels will dull themselves to the minimum, but they can't turn off. So it's not quite the same. So you can get burned in. There's the things to mitigate it. Of course that. But you think you have it on it. If you have an OLED for a TV, there's not usually anything that sits in on the screen for any length of time. That causes the burn-in if something doesn't move. And a PC, you do. Your Windows bloody background, your taskbar, there's certain things that will never remain when you play, that will always remain. When you play games, your HUD stays the same all the time. But there's things that you can do, like pixel shifting, so it'll slightly vibrate on the spot. You won't notice it. There's things like pixel cleaning. I noticed that with my OLED. You might notice this as well. Now I've told you this. When you turn off your TV, see if it's been on for a while, like hours. Right? That maybe tells you something about me. I watch TV too much. When it turns off, after maybe 10 minutes or so, you'll hear a click, and you're like, I turned it off 10 minutes ago. That wasn't truly turned off. What it was doing in the background, it was pixel cleaning. So it was literally going across the screen in the background and literally refreshing everything to make sure there's no stuck pixels. And then it's safe to turn it off. And then once every so many weeks or months, it will do a deep clean. It will literally spend a good while doing the same thing, but in depth and detail. If you've only been watching TV for like half an hour, it will do that click off immediately. There's no need to do anything. So. Yeah. It's pretty fascinating. This you can see my passion. Maybe I should have just said the bloody article instead.
The only thing that I do on my OLED TV is because I'm going through an Android TV box. The Android TV box has a screensavers built in it, so yeah. I just let the screensaver run on there. If I'm not watching something, it'll shift into the screensaver.
You have the F1 box, is it? Yeah.
It's the Formula Z11.
Oh, the Formula
Z11 Pro, yeah. Whatever. There's two of them. So I just set up the thing and it just does its screensaver and I'm cool. Otherwise I usually leave it on in the background because since I'm at home and I'm doing different things, I'm walking in and out of there all the time. So we just leave it on like a sports station or something. So there's my screensaver, sports station or whatever.
Sports station.
But the thing that to get into this monitor a little bit more, the only thing that I was reading about that sounded a little confusing is it said at the moment 500 hertz is only available on 1080p panels. But then it says, and this will be the first panel to introduce a 500 refresh rate on a 1440p.
Yeah.
And I was just going wait a minute, you just said it's only available on 1080p, and now you're telling me it's going to be on 1440p. So which is it?
I noticed that was slightly conflicting information. I reckon it'll possibly only be on 1080p, and that makes sense because this kind of screen refresh rate is mostly aimed at the esports guys, because I think you and I like would struggle to tell anything above like the 240 range, and even then we'd maybe struggle under that. So it's for them. They never go for resolution, mate. These are like the Counter-Strike guys, the Dota guys. They want the refresh rate. So 1080p for them at 27 inch doesn't look that ugly. I mean, Counter-Strike's an older game anyway, so it suits them. they don't really need much more than 1080p, 1440p. Whereas I'm a visual whore. I like my graphics and a decent refresh rate, but I don't need 500 bloody hertz.
No, right.
Why? Neither. When are they going to stop? Where are they going to stop?
They're trying to think of new gimmicks to sell stuff. That's all. I mean, we know this. And you can sit there and brag, have bragging rights, even if it doesn't really mean anything. Yeah. The other thing they're saying was that they believe that this particular 500 hertz monitor will be a difficult sell to gamers because pushing FPS at 500 with the QHD apparently isn't even feasible with the best PC hardware that's on the market now.
Well, when we got into my news article, maybe, well, we'll see.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see when it comes out. I can tell you right now, it's cool. I'm not saying it's not cool, but I ain't buying it. That's for sure.
Okay.
You know, but anyway, on to some more news. A couple weeks ago, we had on Tarl from Gamer Tech, that builds PCs, and he knows a lot. And we were talking about the new Ryzen chips, the new Ryzen X3D chips, and he was pretty excited about it. And, you know, so were we. It was really interesting hearing it. And then he had mentioned that he had heard with the grapevine that the Ryzen 9 9950X3D was coming. And that's about as much as we had heard about it at that time. But apparently, I guess they've got a release date for it now, which is kind of cool. So what they're saying now, I don't know if this comes down as rumor, but if it does, it's a pretty strong one. But apparently there's going to be the CES show in 2025. And they're thinking of launching this Ryzen 9 9950X3D in late January. So that's
just after the show, basically.
Pretty much. Yeah. Or during the show, after the show. So that's not long. I was thinking like they're going to be like March or April or something like that. But apparently not. So if this chip is everything that we heard Tarl talking about and stuff, yeah, and we've read about, it's going to be like a monster chip, which is going to be really neat. God knows what it's going to cost. I'm assuming it's going to be upwards of $500, $600, $700. Oh, I don't know.
This was the, like Tarl said, this is the one that he's really looking forward to. We were discussing the other 3D cache chip a couple of weeks ago on the show, and you know, it was a good chip and all that, but he was really looking forward to this because this was the one that had the best of both worlds. Right. It was great for gaming because when we were discussing it a couple of weeks ago, it was great for gaming, but these chips are designed for gamers and content creators, multimedia type guys, right, at the same time. They'll do well for both sides of the category. And like, to be fair, it probably will be up there, but it doesn't take much to beat Intel at the moment. And let's say I'll talk about them in a little while, but it's not taking a lot to build them, to beat them. So I generally might actually go to AMD next year, which I thought I would never ever say, but I want the best at the end of the day. And I want to future-proof myself as well. And when I was reading this article as well, Gray, where we discussed, if you recall, a couple of weeks ago, the whole 3D cache thing and how it works and why it's really good for a gaming chip and whatnot. Right. And Tara and I were getting a bit technical. And this chip here is going to be 16 cores and 32 threads. I've got 8 cores at the moment. That's nuts. Still have hyper-threading. It'll still likely retain the same single CCDV cache with 64 megabytes of cache, and an additional 64 meg 3DV cache stacked for a total of 128.
I love when they go additional. So you're like, additional. Ooh, what's that?
Yeah, exactly. That is a shit ton of cache, by the way. Great when it comes to processors. They don't have as much of that normally. If you want to know about 3D cache, go back a couple of episodes ago when we talk about it. But there'll be a 12 core option of it as well. But even if it is about that price, mate, it's still very competitive with Intel's latest offering. So, did you wish you'd went back to Intel? AMD even. Sorry.
Oh, I'm still with my Intel. I'm not going to be getting rid of it.
No, but had you? I'm saying now that we know what we know.
If I was building a computer right this second, I would be jumping on this, you know. But yeah, you know, But again, like we, even when I was talking with Tarl, he says there's nothing wrong with what I my setup, and there's nothing wrong with the chip, and it's a great chip, and it'll do everything I want. So, but if you wanted, you know, again, you know, having the best or bragging rights or both, and then obviously you're looking at this. You know, if some money drops out of the sky around then to me, then maybe I would consider it. But otherwise, I may have, you know, wait a little while before I do anything. But it's pretty amazing as far as where AMD
is. You never know. I mean, these chips are just absolutely beasts, man. I think because it's not been officially announced yet, you can only go in rumors and whatnot. But I mean, yeah. 16 cores, 32 threads, 5.7 gigs for all those cores.
And it's overclockable.
And it's overclockable. And it's because it doesn't burn super hot. Mm-hmm. You've got more room headway with good AIO cooling to actually push it further as well. And the rumor price is going to be $600. I think that's fair for a premium product.
Bad.
It's premium, mate. And it's only 170 watts.
I say only. They would have charged 850.
No, I think Intel's latest chips are about the same price, to be fair. So,
but they're not worth it.
I know, but let's say I've got it in the docket to discuss them. But even if I don't have it noted down, I'll probably mention it anyway because it's a bit of a bonfire over at Intel HQ.
They had a little impromptu poll at the end of the article. There's 2,400 votes in. And the question was, which CPUs are you looking forward to the most? The new one, Ryzen 9 9000X3D. I'm fine with the one I have right now. I guess I fall in that category. Or an Intel Arrow Lake. So 72% said they'll go on with the AMD Ryzen 9000X3D. 19% of the people said they're fine with what they have now. And only 9% said they're going to bother with an Intel Arrow Lake. So interesting.
Yeah, interesting. It's amazing how people's opinion changes. Even mine, and I was always an Intel fanboy, I would admit that, because they were until 1-2 years ago, maybe, they were the best for gaming. But now they're not. And that's what I'm interested in. I don't really do multimedia stuff. If anything, Gray needs an AMD in his life. He needs this new chip coming out in January because you get great gaming performance and great video editing, and
no one knew this was going to happen. But and my prior AMD was the previous versions of these, basically, and they were great. And I had always had a good time. I never had any problems with them.
Great. Here's a question for you. See, when you're editing EGP, right, for the Shiny Video Edit, by the way, if you like Shiny Video Edits, you'll appreciate Gray's cut. Usually available on the weekend after we've recorded the pod. Roughly how long does it take you to export a 2-hour 4K video, roughly?
Once I've edited it, it's pretty quick. It's about 10 minutes, 15 minutes.
Is it that quick? Wow, your chip that Intel chip 13. See, that's the thing, right? The Intel chips, I may as well talk about the disaster of Intel at the moment as well while we're at it. The Intel chips are, if you take away this generation, right, and maybe the 14th gen, because remember after 14th gen, they didn't go to 15, they started bloody chaining naming convention again. Mm-hmm. God damn it, Intel, there should be laws against that. So basically, 14th gen is just 13th gen. It's the same architecture, but slightly tweaked and boosted a little bit, and it's never done anything dramatic, right? So this is why we go, this gen's a joke. 14th gen is a joke because it's a copy and paste with a slight boost of 13. This is why I suggested to Gray, get the 13th gen, don't get the 14th. You'll pay the premium for 14, you won't get any benefit. And he's not on the latest chip because Gray doesn't need the latest super duper Intel chip. He just needs something that's good and he's happy. That's why he's on the 13700K, I believe, which is good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the 13th gen, so they haven't been kings for 2 years, Intel, for gaming chips. The 13th gen was good because what they've done there is they kind of slightly tweak architectures as they go ahead, Gray. They don't completely change it. But what they were doing on the 13th gen is they were pushing the envelope pretty far. So those chips burned hot. That's why I hope you've got a good cooler for your system.
Yeah, because I mean, my temperatures even now when I'm looking at them, they run fine. I haven't had any issues.
No, because you've got a good cooler and you don't overclock it. Even though it's designed, I don't think it's the key actually. I think it's designed to be overclocked, but if you don't overclock it and you have a decent cooler, it should be fine. But those chips are designed to be overclocked, so you need a good cooler because they burn hot. All the reason Intel were kings for the last few years of their, you know, being at top of the haystack is because they push more power through it, Gray. So they wouldn't necessarily redesign the architecture that much. They would just go, more power, and just put the juice. So those chips could run at up to 100 degrees C pretty comfortably with good cooling on top of them, because you're pumping so much wattage through it. And that's not ideal, not in the long, long run. You don't want, I mean, you heat up your own room just with your bloody PC. I could, my Intel chip is like that as well sometimes when it's going full, you know, hammer and tong. I'm like, did I turn the heating on? I'm checking. The radiator's cold, just my PC. So now Intel have decided to cut back the power and redesign architecture a little bit differently, but still not dramatically with their latest chip. And their latest chips at the moment, the latest one, the new shiny version they've got out at the moment is not, it's not amazing. It's that Core Ultra 9 285K. And if you remember, we were talking about this last time, Gray. They were lacking behind in gaming performance. People were absolutely slagging. They were slating the performance of it, going, it's not competing with AMD. And they kept boasting Intel that, oh yeah, we get great, we get similar performance to last year, but so much less power that has to go through the chip, and it's more efficient. And everyone was doing the benchmarking, and the performances were awful. And we're like, what the hell is going on? Intel have since come out and went, we know what the issue is. We're going to fix it with a microcode update. And that's basically when they release a firmware kind of style update for the CPU that basically changes the coding in it to make it a bit more efficient. That probably will improve things a bit, Gray. But I don't think it'll improve things enough to compete with AMD's chip.
They're grasping straws to try to make it less less detrimental to themselves than Intel.
Many problems, mate. They've got so many. How the mighty have fallen.
So widely known now, and everybody knows it, and that, which is, I'm sure, not making them happy. But that's the way it is. The funny thing about this, if you think about it, is that since all this stuff's gone on with the Intel, and now AMD's like king of the hill for now, and then on the other side of the coin, Intel also was trying to do their own GPUs, which they stopped doing, and Nvidia's on the top of the hill. So it's almost like Intel's gotten kicked off of the top of the hill in two directions by two different companies.
Intel's like a football at the moment. They're getting kicked from pillar to post by everyone. Yeah. They're like the kid in the playground at school that's getting bullied all the time. You know, I can just see, like, you get these memes of bullies around the playground, right? Around the outside the school, with like their faces are like blurred, but one of them's got AMD in its head, the other one's got Nvidia in its head, and they're just like kicking into this poor Intel guy on the floor, man. I said to Tarl, I hope they come back because competition is good for business. And yes, I realize I sound like Quark from Star Trek, but it is good for business. Competition is good for business. So come back strong, because I always liked Team Blue. Blue's a nice color.
The only thing is, by the time they come back strong, it's going to be at least 2 years, if not more. So they're not going to be doing a whole lot.
AMD was like this for a while, though, mate. AMD was like this for a while, and then they managed to come back. So they'll just keep knocking each other off their perch. But then Gray mentioned the whole thing of the US government strongly hinting that they should do a merger with AMD to kind of save the day. And I don't think that'll happen, because the thing is, Intel, while they've lost a lot of value, they're still rich, and they are very good.
The US government to say that means they're in real trouble financially. And the other reason the US suggested the merger between
your audio's dropping out slightly, mate. I think you need to get a bit closer or something. Yeah, have the map problem.
the problem with when the U.S. government suggested that Intel might want to look at a merger with AMD, they're really saying that for two reasons. One, because and tells them a lot of trouble financially. And the second reason is if that were not to happen, guess who has to bail out Intel? The U.S. government, because they can't afford for them to go out from under. So, you know, we'll see if something like that happens. But
and Greg, let's not forget, we discussed again this in the past, Intel are one of the few fabs out there, fabricators of actual CPUs. Like, the wee man and his dog could go and design a CPU, but they won't make them. It's one thing to design them, which, to be fair, is the hardest part, but it's another thing to have the facilities, right, to actually make them. And if you watch, I highly recommend, go and watch a video from Linus at Linus Tech Tips, where he's invited to one of Intel's fabs in Israel, I want to say. And this, I mean, they had to blur some things out for obvious reasons, but oh my God, like your little robots on rails going along the ceiling and stuff. And I'm like, and the amount of water that these fabs take, they need to be beside like lakes and pools and stuff, because the amount of water to cool everything down, and for the silicon as well when they're making the chips. And you and I will never know the exact way they design a CPU, because it's a trade secret, but you get the general gist of how they make them. And oh my God, I realize I'm sounding like a geek, and I'm sorry, we're getting a bit too technical. We are a gaming and hardware review show, I promise. Although sometimes it sounds like a hardware review show. It's fascinating. And then the guys that design the machines to make the CPUs, the guys, can't remember their name, they're in the Netherlands. They're the only KLM. No, that's the bloody airline. Anyway, they make these multi, that's like $200-300 million to make one of these machines that make the fabs. And they use lasers and different wavelengths that you or I can't comprehend, Gray, that can literally make chips that go down to like coming up for 2 nanometers. Yeah, remember Moore's law? Every couple of years, it will double. And we're getting to the stage where, I mean, before you know it, we're going to be in the quantum realm with Ant-Man. That's all I can say.
I know. How far down can you go until you slip into some other zone?
It's fascinating. And the thing is, and then the US government was getting involved as well, heavily saying, listen, I found this a bit controversial. They're basically heavily leaning on the Dutch government to not sell these machines to the Chinese or the Russians, because you don't want to give them a heads up. And because, listen, part of me, Gray, I'm going to be honest, part of me was like, come on, America, get a grip, stop being the big bloody world police and the bully and blah, blah, blah. But to be fair, I get it. Like, it's the latest technology. The Chinese don't have this. The Russians don't have this. They're on like a different nanometer. And if they can compete at that level, it's dangerous. So this is why governments are getting involved saying, listen, please don't. We will give you the business. So when they sell, when this Dutch company sells a machine to, say, TSMC or Samsung or Intel to make chips, each machine is $200-300 million on its own, one machine. It needs something like up to 5 jumbo jets to fly the different parts to wherever it's going and get put together again. It's in a vacuum seal, this machine. It blows my mind, man. I'm getting really technical.
Prefab.
I'm pretty sad about this stuff, but yeah, we'll move on.
No, I think it's pretty cool. The only way that, of course, Denmark or wherever is not going to be able to sell to other countries is if the U.S. hands them some money.
Not Denmark.
Or tries to get them to do an exclusive, but that would mean that we'd have to pay an awful lot. So I don't know. I do get it, though, because you don't, you know, in some respects, you know, and we don't want to get too political here, but in some respects, if you're trying to do your best at making things, you know, good for the masses, there's certain things you want to try to, you know, not get out there. So I get it. I mean, that's been going on for, I don't know, hundreds of years. So
yeah,
you know, it happens. So, but the thing is, how long will that last? I mean, I saw a thing yesterday, even though I'm not doing an AI corner today, but they were talking about AI, and one guy came on. It was real interesting, and he said, because he's been looking into this. Started, and he says, well, he said 2 years ago, he goes, the U.S. was the leader by 2 years in the technology of AI. He says now it's even Steven. So it only took 2 years for every other country, including China and all the others, to catch up to the US because it moves so fast. So yeah. now AI is pretty much at the same rate for everyone. So
is that your AI corner? Is that Gray's AI corner? That was good.
Yeah,
was
I wasn't nice. Going to do AI corner, but that's just like a brief a brief run. The one thing I did want to get to that I thought was interesting, then another article came out with the only company or the only group that basically says that AMD is not really giving the right statistics, that they're aggressive in their marketing, and they're not really going at real world performance. This is User Benchmark. And User Benchmark says, yeah, well, you know, the way we do this is, you know, XYZ. And let's remember that User Benchmark has been in trouble before by not giving out quite the right information in the past. So take that with a grain of salt or whatever. But basically, they decided to go ahead and run their own benchmarks and stuff based on what they call the real world, as opposed to you know, the fluff that they say that they're using in the advertisement. Now, If you're to believe that, or what User Benchmark says, then basically they place roughly about 11 Intel chips above the Ryzen 7 9800X3D. Which, until the Ryzen 9 comes out, is the one that's the hottest chip right now. So they're already saying that in all different ways, claiming user rating, the values, the memory, the 8 cores, et cetera, market share, blah, 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 that when you really figure it out that way, Intel is you know, way above AMD. You know?
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, but
you take it with a pinch of salt, Gray. They all do it.
Yeah. But they said that, generally speaking, in the market out there, with other people that do this kind of work and benchmarking and whatnot, the wide consensus is that this doesn't make sense. And they said that AMD is at the top, and you have to believe what you want. But this is the only company that's even gone this route to say that, yeah, AMD is not what they cracked up to be, kind of thing.
This is when you want to buy a new bit of hardware for PC, like say a CPU or a GPU. This is why you always wait for not one, but several independent reviews from your favorite YouTubers. And some of them will say, like Steve at Gamers Nexus, don't, or Jay's Two Cents, don't watch one. Don't just watch me. Go and watch Steve. Go and watch Linus. Watch a few of them. And because look what happened with Intel recently. Look, AMD are doing great, but they'll try and inflate their figures. I don't know why, when they are top dogs anyway. Like, Don't take their word for it. Even if you're diehard, wait and do the research, and it'll be worth it. If you need it on day one, that's fine, whatever. But always do your research, man, because, you know, like, I think one of the companies that's the worst at doing this, great, is Apple. So They'll come on and they'll start slagging PC and Intel and stuff. And I don't really like all this shit. I don't pick between Apple and Intel or Android and iOS and stuff. Like, I'm in the middle. I see advantages and disadvantages for both. Mm-hmm. I remember Apple used to be on their arse at one point. They got bailed by Microsoft. They almost went bankrupt, if you remember, way back. Mm-hmm. And they are top dogs now.
They're not as top dog as they used to be now.
They're not the richest company in the world. It goes between them and like Nvidia and whatnot. But they design their own chips. They do really, really well at what they do, and their M series chips are brilliant. They are sensational at what they do. So much power and so efficient at the same time for battery and compute power. Mm-hmm. But they come out with their advertising, Gray, and they'll go be like, okay, this is Apple and their new M4 chip or whatever, and this is the latest PC chip. And they might say Intel, but they won't say which chip they tested with. And we'll be like, we're 40% quicker. You're 40% quicker than what?
Right.
You know what I mean? And the graphs they have are like so simplistic that it's designed for the Joe Blogs that's watching it, not the technical people like you or I or whatever, because people will buy what they're selling, literally. So wait for reviews and wait, because half the time they exaggerate or they are slightly exaggerating. So don't always believe what's thrown in your face.
So basically, they have like a small graph with only two bars on it. One says we're the best, and they're crap, and then they just show.
Yeah, it's like a 5-year-old drew it. Like, you know, it's that kind of thing. It really
go by
is.
The color. Look, oh, we're so much higher.
Yeah. I can tell that was my kid that drew it. His favorite color is yellow, and look at the design. Yeah. Exactly, mate. So
anyway,
I found that interesting.
I guess to move on, I'll let Trev do the next little bit.
Yeah, so
Cyber Race.
Yeah, Gray's, because we're not doing this live, Gray and his editing skills, he'll just add this little bit in later, little video. For the last few weeks, we've been, I say pushing, but gladly pushing, because we believe in the product. We've been pushing this Cyber Race item from the guys over there. They have got this campaign on Kickstarter at the moment, and literally, as we discussed before, it is a GPU brace, your graphics card, which we've seen before, but this is one that's got dual functionality. It will stop your saggy GPU, but it will also have a little display in the front of it, which is very customizable. We've got some promo material that was sent over to us by the guys at Cyberbrace, and one of them is you could do many things with this display. You know, you could have your stats on it, your temps on it, whatever, or you could even have video on it, your favorite YouTuber, your favorite Twitch streamer. You could watch your favorite podcast in it, and then before you know it, we're on there. Me, Gray and Matt, Extreme Gaming Podcast. I'm like, yeah, you can keep an eye on your temps. You can watch the podcast inside your PC. It's like Inception. And basically, guys over there, what they're doing is, because it's their first campaign on Kickstarter, there's still another 2-3 weeks to go on it. They've got incentives. They have lowered the price to £80. It's about $100 or so. They're shipping anywhere in the world, I believe. They've got competitions going on their various socials. Cyberbrace, it's spelled CYBRBRACE. If you go to Kickstarter and put Cyberbrace in there, don't do it from Google, because Google will get confused and won't know what you're talking about. Go to Kickstarter and then type it in. Yeah. You can read more about the product, but each of their socials basically has a way to actually win one of the actual items in question. Free, no charge, and also they're throwing in the chance to win a custom built PC. And because the guys over there are they originally come from a background of like making their own PCs, and they're very good at it, custom PCs. This is a cracking PC. So just search on the socials as well for Cyberbrace as well, and have a chance to win not only a PC but one of the products for free. And then we'll just literally, after this, you'll be able to watch the little ad promo or listen to it.
Gamers, PC builders, creators, we all know the frustration of GPU sag, that slow drooping that can damage your graphics card and motherboard and ruin the look of your rig. Introducing the Cyberbrace, the ultimate solution to keep your graphics card secure and your build looking flawless. But here's where it gets really exciting. The Cyberbrace features an LCD display that functions as a second screen. Plug it into your GPU and it transforms into a live feed of your performance stats, game data, or even your own custom graphics or animations. The Cyberbrace isn't just about function, it's about form too. Made in the UK from high-grade aluminum, it's designed to stand out and keep your GPU firmly in place. You can also customize the Cyberbrace with interchangeable magnetic faceplates for that extra personal touch. Stability, style, a second screen, and no GPU sag. Check it out now and elevate your rig. Now live on Kickstarter. Pick one up now for the Kickstarter exclusive low price of only £80 and save 35%. Every backer is also automatically entered into our gaming PC giveaway. And don't forget to like, follow, and share this post to also be entered into the Cyberbrace draw. We have 5 to give away.
Perfect. There we go. Moving on.
Yeah, right. I just want to say, if you weren't, you know, hard enough after hearing the hardware news I gave, now it's time for Trev's hard corner to, you know.
Oh, it's even harder now.
Get all hard all over again.
It's so hard. It's time to get hard all over again. Oh, man, that is epic. That's clipped. Jesus Christ, man, this is too much. Like, a guy needs a chance
to... line in my head.
I know, you just had to say it, didn't you? yeah, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. That cracks me up. Yeah, the hardest corner of them all. Right. Did you know, Mr. Gray, the RTX, the NVIDIA RTX 4090 Ti was actually a thing? Did you know this?
I know there was always the rumors, but we never, you know, never seen anything.
No.
So there was actually a thing and they just didn't make it a real thing? Or
Yeah. So literally, I mean, I could have called up a picture of it. Actually, no, I might do it, to be fair. It was something that they literally did bring out, at least for a prototype type scenario. I'll call it up at the moment here.
So this was supposed to be above a 4090 then?
Yes. So it's kind of like their Titan equivalent card. So
look, they did bring it out. The picture has to run on your desktop. On your desktop.
It needs four slots on your PC. Four. The most I've ever seen is three. Often it's about 2.5 usually for the top cards.
Yeah.
But this is, like, I mean, literally, look, it's get dinked and everything because it's been passed from one engineer to the next. It was the equivalent of their Titan card, right? This it's thing's an absolute
power
beast.
The power cord on the top.
Like, well, when we get to the 5090, they're changing that, which you're glad to hear. It was such an enormous heat sink. This is the reason they decided to not bring it out. It was gobbling up far too much power. It was too big. They were trying to squeeze every last bit of performance out of the Ada Lovelace card technology. But would have blown everything out of the water. I guess they just thought, then there's no point bringing it out. I mean, literally. I mean, there's a comparison compared to previous Titan cards. Jesus.
By the way, just a note for people that are listening to the audio podcast. Yeah. I always say this. We do what we kid around and call it a shiny version of our podcast and make it a video podcast. And in the video podcast, I urge you to go take a look, and you will see some of the things that we do on the video podcast that, you know, basically back up what we're saying. So what we're looking at is a picture of the 4090, what would have been the 4090 Ti, next to the original Titan RTX from a few years ago. And we thought the Titan was big. This thing blows the Titan away, makes it look really little.
I was going to say it's wee brother, but I mean, honestly, like, it's not.
Wee baby is more like it.
Baby brother. You can see why it wasn't a thing, because it would have been too much. It would have been ultra expensive to make, and also for the average consumer to buy. They didn't need to bring it out because they were already ahead. The 4090 is already a beast. And they just thought, let's not bring something like this out. I don't recall what the power levels were. It doesn't actually say. But, I mean, safe to say they were high anyway, Gray. So I found that very interesting. And no doubt our colleague and friend Hans would have probably sold the other kidney to get that. So, yes.
You would have had machines keeping him alive just so he
could. Exactly. Like, you're literally going in to get dialysis because there's no fucking kidneys left. He sold them all off. Right, so the other thing, moving on, is this is why we miss Matt, because he talks more about the gaming side of things, but we're just geeks, so we talk more on the hardware side of things.
Well, we have some gaming stuff coming up, a little bit.
We do, and next week, we'll, like, Grave maybe be talking about his Dragon game, whatever it's called.
Dragon game.
I don't know what it's called. What's it
Dragon
called?
Dragon Age, the Veilguard.
Right, okay, there you go. Dragon Simulator, got you.
Dragon Simulator would be pretty cool.
It would be, actually, to be fair, it really would be. I'd buy that for a dollar. So the heavily rumored but obvious NVIDIA RTX 1590 that's coming out will probably be officially announced at CES in January as well. I love January time, mate, because everyone's skint and broke after the holidays, after Christmas. Right. And then what do? They have the world's biggest trade show event for shinies and gadgets and technology that no one can feckin' buy because they've got no money left, which is in Las Vegas every year in January. But you're like, oh, here's something I can't afford to buy. But the 5090 will...
They're setting you up. So they're sitting there going like, hey, when you start earning more money, look.
Yeah, make us more rich, man. Make us even more rich. It will be, it'll probably be announced, let's say, CES January. It'll come out probably shortly after, maybe actually be launched at the same time. And it'll be the 5090 and 5080 that comes out, because the 80 card is usually the one that more people get because it's more affordable. And for those listening in audio, that's air quotes. It's, it'll still be bloody expensive. Now, the reason I bring this up is because wanted to find out a little bit more about the cards. They've already started making quite a few of them. There's already a couple of retailers in China that are letting them slip out because they get a D variant of it, D for Delta, which is some things like cut out of it, like a no-frills version. I mean, it was almost like a laptop chip, Griff, because of the Chinese government and their stipulations and regulations and whatnot. And you see the box of it. So already, and some people, you know, the guys that like make custom PCs, like the guys that probably made your PC first time around, right? These guys are already getting the parts in ahead of time, aren't they? So they have been manufactured, and they are being manufactured as we speak. They're talking about rumored prices, and we thought, how high could this actually be, you know, in terms of cost? But I genuinely reckon the rumors that I'm reading are it'll probably be between $1,800 and $2,000, which, do you want to know something? Yes, it's bloody expensive. I know it is. But I was expecting it to be, if it was under $2,000, I thought that was actually not bad, considering it could have been a lot higher. That's a, I think it was it $1,600 or $1,800 for the 4090? So this is a bit natural, I think. I don't think it'll go more than that, but no, we can touch them for competition, so maybe it will, mate. I mean,
and I predicted 2,500, and I think I'll be right, because remember, this one is going to, hold on, this one is the 1,800 to 2,000 is basically the kind of like the Founders Edition or whatever, and then they in turn they take that one and slap on their the fans that they want and whatever else that they want to put on it, and then they sell the card. So my feeling is that it's going to be more like 2,200 to 2,500 when it actually comes out. So when you see like you know the major manufacturers all come out with their versions,
the board partners,
it's going to be up there, man.
Just, so no, you are right there. I think you are right. For those that don't know, and I'm sure a lot of you guys will, the NVIDIA make their own graphics cards as well. So not only did they design the chip, but they'll actually make the cooler and stuff and it's called a Founders Edition, as Gray said. It looked like the one I showed you in the picture a moment ago. I tend to prefer the Founders card because you can get it the soonest, you can get it at the cheapest, and it's vanilla, and I'm very vanilla. I'm plain and boring, what can I say, Gray? And then what they'll do is, NVIDIA, is they'll then sell the chip to various board partners, you know, like your MSI, your Gigabyte, companies like this. And then they can bring out their version of a Founder card, but to make a profit, they can't really sell it much more than what NVIDIA sells it for. Bear in mind, they're buying it for pretty much the same price, or close to the same price that you and I would buy a card from NVIDIA. So they need to make their money back, these board partners. So that's why some companies have pulled out of making GPUs now, like EVGA pulled out. I couldn't believe it. They're really good at making cards. They pulled out. They went, there's no point. For them to make a profit, Gray, they don't make the profit in their Founders cards, because they just bump it up by like $20, $30, $50 or something, right? They make their money by taking the chip and the board and literally taking it out and making their own case, their own cooler system, and slapping it on over this and putting the price up. So say it's for argument's sake, it's $2,000 Founders card from NVIDIA, right? The cheapest you'll see a third-party card that's not a Founders card, I reckon, would be at least $2,200, right, because, again, they need to make a profit. But what you'll find with that, Gray, is these cards will be better than NVIDIA's card, because the cooling system... NVIDIA have got better at the cooling side of things. They have. But the board partners are better at that. They know this craft better. They build really, really good power management and cooling systems, and you can run the chip harder, faster for longer, but it comes at a cost. R&D, the stuff that goes into actually making these cooling systems. And then you get guys like Kingpin, who literally come in and design the engineering around the cooling and stuff. He is the best or one of the best in the business. But a Kingpin card goes, if it's $2,000, it'll be $3,000 minimum for his cards because they are the best of the best.
Because they're Kingpin.
They are the king. I don't know if that was an EVGA guy. I can't remember who he works for. Can't remember. That's getting into the minutiae of it. But yeah, the 50, 90, and 80 will come first. And the stats in this thing are kind of really scary. AI is going to be a big thing with this again. I don't know if there'll be a new version of DLSS. I kind of hope so. I know that sounds sucky, but you know, you want the best in AI upscaling. You go for an NVIDIA card. Everyone knows that. Was it harsh that they made DLSS 3.0 and above only for 4,000 series cards? No, I don't think so. They have to have a reason. They have to give people a reason to buy those cards over other ones. And if you don't like it, don't buy the card. I know that sounds brutal, Gray, but that's the way I look at it, mate.
There was one thing I had to bring up to see what you thought about this. When I was looking at the article, what stood out to me is funny. There was one line where they said in the article, so what do we know about Team Green's upcoming BFGPU 3.0?
Oh, BFG. Yes, mate. Yes.
So we know what BF stands for. So.
Yeah. In the Doom movies after the one with The Rock, not the one with The Rock. I know everyone slags that, but I thought it was brilliant. It's just brilliant in a shit way. It was so cheesy. It was good. And the one where the Doom Slayer was actually the girl, if you remember, they done two of those movies. I actually really enjoyed them. I thought they done pretty well. And then I remember at the very end of the movie, she ends up in hell and she's surrounded by all the demons around her and she just goes yippee-ki-yay still and then it cuts to black. But they call it, I can't remember what they called the BFG there, like its actual official title.
Well, in one of the Dooms, it was BFG 9000.
What does the BFG stand for officially? What fans call it.
Officially, that's what it is. It's big F and gun. That's the whole point of BFG.
It's actually got a technical.
That wasn't. Doom, yeah, but that wasn't what it was originally. When they made the BFG 9000, that BFG stood exactly for what you think it says. Exactly.
Not true, but they had to call it something else within Doom, the franchise, as well.
I think they only called it BFG. They didn't really get into, you know, it's just letters and then a number.
Gray said everybody knew, nicer
everybody
version.
Knew, so it's kind of like...
yeah, Gray, I think you gave it the nicer version, the big freaking gun. Anyway, right, so...
So that's looking, when they played it up on this article, and they said BFGPU. I'm going like, okay.
Well, it will be.
Freaking, not freaking GPU.
I'll give you an idea of the between the 4090 and the 5090. This is how scary the difference is. A 4090 is already a beast of a machine, right? A beast of a chip.
Right.
The 4090 had 16,384 CUDA cores, right? The 5090's got 24,576, right? Ray tracing cores, 128 versus 192. Tensor cores, 512 versus 768. Boost clock, 2.52 gigahertz versus 2.9. You'll get over 3,000 with good cooling, easy. Yeah. Level 2 cache, remember what we talked about cache, 72 meg versus 128. And memory bandwidth, which is one of the most important things in a GPU, 1,008 gigabits a second versus 1,532 gigabits a second. I mean, that's approximately at least a 30%, something like a 30% increase. I mean, Jesus Christ. If you run that thing at full speed, you may actually shatter the space-time continuum, Gray.
I think what I would do, if it doesn't fit in my computer, I would just outboard it. I would use the PCIe extension cards and just hold it outside my computer with a fan blowing on it.
Because you're in Florida, so it's kind of toasty hot over there, man. You need to keep things cool.
Not inside, man. AC all the time.
That's true. I don't know if I could afford to buy this.
No, I can't.
We'll see. We'll see, because I do want a new I like the latest, but I can't always get the latest. And you also need to, you're future-proofing yourself, aren't you? Because, like, I can already game at 4K over 100 hertz, right? And that's with a 4080 Super. So once I get a new CPU as well, what my CPU is out of date, it's like a i9-9900K, but it still runs very well. I need something to push that so I can literally put everything up to max. That's why I'm thinking get an OLED monitor, not TV monitor, like 240 hertz, so I can push the envelope even more. And then I'm okay for a good few years, a bit like you, Gray. There used to be a time when I first knew Gray and the guys in the community, I would be upgrading every fucking year to keep up to date. I don't do that anymore now. Too expensive, man.
Yep. You know what I mean?
As I was saying before, the RTX 4090 was $1,600 when it came out. And it's crept up to $2,000 for the partner cards. We are thinking, rumors are saying $2,000, which would be right, mate, because $1,600 to $200 is already a big increase. That's why I think it will be $2,000. And partner cards will be like $22 or something, probably. So watch this space. It's going to be mental and very expensive. The last thing I've got on my docket for my hard corner, no surprise, Sony is actually planning a new PlayStation handheld, it's claimed. Not surprised by this one, Gray. Everyone saw how popular the Nintendo Switch was, is, and still will be with their rumored Switch 2. They all want a piece of the pie. So Xbox, Microsoft have said that they're working on one, but it's a while out. And I'd like to think that's something that could be in the next gen system so that you could have a version of it like the Xbox Series S, you know, like the lower cut version, or you could have something like the handheld that goes into a dock to turn it into the supreme console when you're on a TV. And then when you take it away on the move, it's cut down version. That's what the Switch should have always been for me. Like the dock doesn't power it anymore, really. I'm hoping the Switch 2 gives it more of a boost. So you can, it's the same console, but it splits in two almost. Sony used to make really good portables, if you remember, Greg. I know you weren't really into this much, but they made the PSP and the Vita back in the day, and they were really popular, especially the PSP. And I'm surprised they went out of that market. And now they're coming back in slowly with the PlayStation Portal, which is that thing that I'm saying that could connect to your PlayStation 5 if you're at your home network, and it streams it to the Portal. And now it's in beta for cloud streaming to the actual device. But this thing will probably come out. We don't know when. It's just claims it's early stages of development. So I reckon they won't come out until the new gen of consoles again. I'm not talking about the Pro. I'm talking about PlayStation 6 onwards. We also saw rumours of a black version of the PlayStation Portal, which looks nice. I mean, I don't like the white in a PlayStation. It just looks weird. It just looks shiny and nice. I think this is cool. I think there is definitely a market for portable machines. Just look at the Windows portable gaming machines, Gray, like the Claw, MSI Claw, and the ROG Ally, and even, I know it's not Windows, the Steam Deck from Valve. That's actually running Linux, Proton, like a Proton version layer on top of it, which has been customized heavily and tweaked really, really well. That is... Sorry, I thought you said something.
I didn't say anything.
That makes it gaming, portable gaming, a lot more popular than it used to be. And these guys like Sony and Microsoft are like, we want a piece of this pie. Like, you know, Nintendo are doing really well as well. Again, competition is good for business. So yeah. I'm not really into the portable side of things, Gray. I must admit, I don't have
one. But, you know, I'm not, but my son is. He has a Steam Deck. He also has a Nintendo well,
there's not a chance for us to play them because we're not on a commute long enough. I'm not on a commute long enough for work. And when I am, I'm on a bike.
It's a personal preference thing. Like he much prefers to play the games that way. So he's playing some of the games that he likes and even some of the games that I've played, but he does it all on either the Steam Deck or the Nintendo.
Even when he's at home, he doesn't just go and launch up a console on a...
Nope.
Really?
His gaming computer that I helped him build is 10 years old. And he doesn't He doesn't even use it. So he just goes with... He likes the handhelds. Some people just like handhelds, like flat out. They just... That's it for them.
But this is why I'm looking for something that's the best of both worlds. That's why I hope the Switch 2 is something that when you put it in the dock gives it more of a... I think it will be. It will give it more of a boost. It will have the DLSS element built into it. Because bear in mind, it's NVIDIA that are behind the chip. And then you take it all out on the go, it's a cut-down version for like a 8-inch screen, 1080p or something. That's all you need, really, that size.
There's a picture, by the way, and when we do the shiny video edit, I'll put the picture in, but what do you think of what it looks like? I'm looking at this thing and I'm going like, I don't know. I don't think it looks that great. It almost looks on the ends, it'd be a little flimsy. I mean, just from a picture, I'm sure it's not, but...
I mean, but if you're literally talking about that, that's the PS, yeah. That's the PlayStation Portal. So that's not the handheld that they're working on. No one will have pictures of that. This is the Portal that's out now. And that's the thing that if your PlayStation's at home and your missus or your man is watching a TV, that's taking away a display. So as long as your PlayStation 5 or 5 Pro is in rest mode, at least, not completely turned off, and you've got a good connection to your router, you can literally stream it directly onto your Portal. So it's just a display.
They're saying that the portable like this, the PlayStation Portable like this, I've been reading some articles where this happens every so often, and they're going like, oh, now we're back in the cloud gaming. Do you really need a PS5 or PS5 Pro anymore?
Well, that's why Sony didn't bring out cloud streaming to this initially, because it wasn't the design of it. It was never the aim of it. But people are like, why are we paying whatever it is, $200 for this when we can't cloud stream? It's a lot of money. I'll stop you on that. It's a lot of money, and they're right, it is. So that's why they brought out the beta version, so that you could, if you were on the higher tier of their PlayStation Game Pass, you could actually stream about 200 or so games from PlayStation Cloud to your Portal. If you have a good Wi-Fi connection, it makes sense. I mean, for this, Gray will sort it in post, of course, but it literally just looks like a PlayStation 5 controller that's been cut down the middle and an 8-inch screen just wedged in the middle.
And it's like a big iPhone screen. Yeah.
It really does. It looks cool. Don't get me wrong. It does look cool. But these things sold like hotcakes when they came out, Gray. So who thought we would struggle to fill 2 hours, man? No chance ever. But yeah, so that is the hardware stuff I've got. I know, apologies, guys, if it's been hardware heavy. But, you know, Matt's more of our games guy these days and he's taking a week off. But Gray's got some gaming news anyway, so it's not so bad.
The game news, we've talked about this before, about Star Wars Outlaws, and when it came out, I started playing it, so did Matt, and we both came around to realize that this was nowhere near where we were told it was going to be. We were looking very excited to have a true open world kind of experience, you know, a la Assassin's Creed or something like that with the Star Wars, and what we got was not that, and I actually got bored of it after 10 hours, and Matt played another 10 or 15, then he couldn't handle it. And it's a variety of things. I mean, just many, many things about it not right. But I would like to give a little credit to Ubisoft, because since that's happened,
Ubisoft and credit in the same sentence? Sorry. Confused.
I got to give at least a little something.
Fanboy. Okay, fanboy.
So
come on.
Basically what they've been doing, and I haven't tried this yet, so I can't really say. But basically what they're saying is that they have already put in several updates. There's also a massive one going in, I believe, right now. They've changed the combat. So they changed the open world feel, so it looks like, so it's almost like a whole new open world. Essentially, they're changing a lot to be able to do all this stuff. They said they changed the headshots because there was like no headshots, or it seems like there wasn't any headshots. They've changed the health and armor stats. They revamped enemy types to be more distinct. They gave enemies more weak points because there was some stuff I saw people playing where they were shooting an enemy, let's say like in the leg or something, and they don't, the enemy doesn't even feel it. He just sits there and just keeps doing the normal thing. So unless you hit him in the head, you ain't damaging him anywhere. So they kind of go through that. They put in some new animations, hit reactions, weapon recoils, fire rates, accuracy stats. They put in some new weapons because that was another problem where you basically had one little gun and occasionally a blaster if it fell down, and that was it. So they're introducing a bunch of, I don't know about a bunch, but a few more weapons. A bunch of other little things. So basically, from the people that have been looking at these updates, they feel like the game is getting close to where it should have been and when what was promised to us, which we've talked about often on this podcast about how they come out with garbage that they have to wait, you know, however many times to do it. You would have think they all would have known when Cyberpunk came out years ago and it was not ready. And it took a whole year for CD Projekt Red to bring it up to standards. And now I'm hearing that it's a fantastic game to play. So I may have to go back to it because I was one of the biggest proponents against it because it was just crap. So again, Ubisoft has gotten a lot of bad press lately, rightfully so, for things that they've been doing. They can't afford more bad press, which is why they delayed Assassin's Creed Shadow off for a little while. And they're trying to make this game back to where it's supposed to be. So I'm waiting until this update is completely out and I hear a little more about it. And then I think I might jump right back into the game and see if it truly is where it should be or should have been since the very beginning. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed. I hope that's true because that's what I really want. So
interesting.
Yep. The other piece of news that we've been hearing off and on and for forever is Witcher 4. No, they have not said anything about Geralt being in the game at all. Although I've heard some rumors that even though it's following a different Witcher line, in other words, like another Witcher but different than Geralt, is that he will appear in the game, but he's probably only going to appear in the game on a mission, which would be kind of cool. I mean, if they want to start something new and they don't want that, you know, Geralt, then maybe this would be a way to do it. So supposedly they're saying it's going to be a long quest line that's going to feature him. He'll appear in there. He'll be his usual self, and he'll team up with your character, and that'll be it. You'll only see him for that one mission, and that's the end of that. So that's true. That would be pretty cool. It would be a selling point, I guess. So that would be nice.
I'll be out for a while though, Gray, if they're just starting on it and now, like full production, that'd still be
But instead of just being in pre-production, which, you know, is just writing up ideas and whatnot. They've actually started the full scale production. Now, before anybody gets excited, it's still gonna be a minimum of 2 years, if not more.
I'll be three or four years, but
I'm trying to be kind because I'm sitting there, you know. Maybe they'll move it around.
If it's 2 years, it won't be great, man. It'll be rinse and repeat. Right. I would be concerned if it was only 2 years.
Right. And CD Projekt Red learned their lesson with Cyberpunk that came out before. So
so bad.
They're not going to do that again. So they're going to make sure it's right. So whether it takes 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, it's going to be a while. But at least it sounds like they're doing this correctly. So right now the working name is Witcher Project Polaris. I don't think that's going to stay that name. But, you know, that's the one they're working off of for now. They've also got some other ideas in the can, too, that they're looking to do eventually. But those other plans are still a way off. And they're not using their own engine anymore. They used Red Engine for the longest time for their games. They decided to can that one and go to Unreal 5. So
what did they use for Cyberpunk?
They still use the Red Engine Cyberpunk.
That looked good. It had problems at the start, but once they fixed them, that looked really good.
Yeah. I think what's happening now is that they're seeing that Unreal Engine 5 is much easier to work with and does offer some advantages and advancements beyond what they're doing.
Great. Do you remember that was a thing with Bethesda? Not Bethesda. Halo. Halo, they were using the Slipstream engine, I think, for Halo Infinite, right? The last Halo game. Problem was, it was only that game and that franchise that was using it. Yeah. So they struggled to get engineers and coders in that could actually use that, because it took them so long to train them up in this engine because no one else used it. So that's another thing, that using this engine, it's, you know, if you're a programmer in the gaming industry, you probably know about Unreal because it's the biggest engine out there. Like Unity's a big one as well, but this is the biggest one probably, so more people know it. But if you've got your own engine, you want to use your own engine usually first and foremost because it's cheaper, you know how to use it really well, but you, like say, you need to train other people up on it. The only downside is Unreal Engine, if you're a small developer or an indie developer, you'll probably never pay a single penny to use it.
Right.
But if you're a big developer and you use that engine, it's like once you sell so many hundreds of thousands or millions of copies, you start paying money and you pay a percentage and it's a decent chunk. So if a company like CD Projekt Red is using this engine, they will sell millions of copies pay a penny for that.
Let's remember though, Unreal Engine 5 is free to the public.
No, it is, mate. My point is, you're allowed to use it for free, but if you use it to make a game and your game sells so many copies, you need to pay a percentage.
I still think that even with the percentage, though, it's worth it. They'll probably save money, you know.
Well, obviously, that's why they're going ahead with it, but it's still, it's a chunk out of their wallet, isn't it? I find that whole stuff fascinating, man, but it's the right thing to do, really, isn't it? Because it's the best engine out there by far.
The nice things I keep on hearing out of CD Projekt Red is that just like Witcher 3 was light years ahead as far as an RPG is concerned, how well it was, in every facet, they are saying that they're teasing that the new one is going to surpass all RPGs with new features and mechanics that break boundaries once again. So going on the track record, if that's the case, we may be seeing some real interesting stuff that's not out there. The other thing they did as a tease, which I thought was when you see a tease like this, you just go, oh, come on, don't do that. We still got 4 years. But they put a picture out, and apparently this is one frame from the game.
Oh.
And you see a little pile of money that, you know, sitting on a rock, whatever, I don't know, I guess more of a sidewalky kind of thing. And that's all. That's all they put. And it's like, oh, okay, whatever.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, it looks great. Don't get me wrong. It looks wonderful, but I'm just like, you know, okay. So I think we're going much beyond that for a while, but who knows? They might put out another trailer in another year or something like that to keep us all going gooky.
Yeah, I would rather they stay quiet for a while because I don't like getting teases every now and again. I want them to say, oh, yeah, we're started working on this game. And even if they don't say it, even if they keep it quiet and like a year for launch or 2 years from launch, where they give us the first information on it, I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
They can say, we've started working on it. I'm fine with that. But then keep shtum for a while.
Yeah.
Don't
not
bring
like
out these
Elder Scrolls 6 that everybody's
laughing
about. 8 years ago they came out with a trailer.
Mate, it's too much. So it's like, I want to hear about a year before it comes out. Like, don't do anything else. Okay. If you're wrapped up there, Gray. I've got two things here. Actually, one's not in the docket, but I just found it out there. No surprise. Activision says Black Ops 6's launch was the most launch month was Call of Duty's biggest ever. It seems to get bigger every year, and that's impressive for a franchise that struggles to try and keep itself fresh and interesting. It's safe to say a lot of this is down to obviously Microsoft owning Activision Blizzard now and putting the Black Ops or the latest COD games on its Game Pass. They did rejig the Game Pass levels a bit to try and get more money out of it, but it is still on the high end of the Game Pass, included. I hate to use the word free because it's not free, but it's included if you've got the Game Pass, which I do, although I never bloody use it. You can pay for upgrades and stuff and whatnot to get like battle passes and extras there if you want, but if you've got Game Pass, you can play this for free on Xbox and PC. It is available, of course, on PlayStation. You pay for that, but they're not. Xbox are releasing more of their IP on PlayStation and other consoles because it's a no-brainer. Like that, they're making console exclusivity is not really a thing so much with Xbox now. They got one or two franchises they're keeping in, like Halo for now, but they're bringing out quite a few things. So, literally, It even says here, despite you can get in it for, again, free, but it's not really free on Xbox with Game Pass and PC. Unit sales on PlayStation and Steam were also up over 60% year over year. Very impressive. Yep. I was just seeing if there was actually, they don't really announce Game Pass figures quite a lot. They don't really do that. Xbox, not so much. I'm not really surprised this is a big game. We will get around to playing the zombie mode together at some point. We were going to do it tonight, actually, but we had to do a pre-recording of this instead, so I'll just have to wait. And the last thing that's not in the docket, Mr. Gray, that I'm actually going to share, because I literally just found this out as we were recording, that Steam have literally launched their autumn sale for their games, right? Now, I've literally shared my screen here, so you don't even need to put this in a post. You can do what you want, but great, your game, your actual game, you were nice enough to give 20% off to people, Grey Zone Warfare. And that is Grey there. That's a younger version of Grey. And certainly look at me, it's cool. It's like Sam Fisher.
Just because the name's there.
CODs get 15% off. I find that amusing. Now, listen, we've said before, Steam for the last number of years were really shit with their sales. They were, like, because the companies, like websites like CD Keys and whatnot, coming out and just blowing them out of the water, right? But then the last year or so, they've got a lot better again, Gray. Some of their discounts are really, really good because they do, like, I mean, this is some of their featured discounts here. Like Baldur's Gate, 20% off, 70% off for Hogwarts Legacy. There's a really good one. Yeah. But they do this thing called featured deep discounts. Now, for those that are listening to the audio, it's visual at the moment. We'll try and explain, shout out some of the games here. But some of the deep discounts are really, really good, Gray. Look at this. The Hunter Call of the Wild, 90% off, £1.67 or $2 or so at the moment.
Right?
Amazing. Amazing. Jedi Fallen Order, £3.49, 90% off. Far Cry 5, only a fiver, 90% off. It blows my mind. Northgard, which
I was looking at. That's a game I wanted to play and I haven't gotten around to it. That's
look
stunning.
How cheap it is, mate. £2.37, 90% off. Need for Speed's in there, really, really cheap as well.
Yeah.
It's nuts. The Steam Awards are on at the moment as well. You can go and vote for your most popular game. This was the other survival game that I think we had in our shortlist, or I do and Matt does. It's got a discount as well. It's an early access. It's like a Norse mythology type game, 30% off. Only two of those. Stalker 2 is out in Game Pass at the moment, which Matt will talk about when he's back. But Stalker 1, 75% off, £2.49. Brilliant.
Yeah.
There is so many discounts here. I saw one further down, which was really interesting. I mean, Dead Island 2 has not been out that long, 30% off. God of War for PC, 60% off, £15.99. I mean, they're doing a lot better with these sales now, Gray.
Yeah, pick it up now at that price.
Oh, yeah. It's absolutely sensational. That's just a bit of a teaser. Their autumn sales are on at the moment. I don't know how long, until the 4th of December. So they're doing a lot better with their sales. And long may it continue as far as I'm concerned. I will stop sharing that just now. And that is basically me from my end, Mr. Gray. I am going to wrap up there, I think.
Wrap up is the key word. We are going to wrap up for now. So I appreciate everybody tuning in. Obviously, come see us every week.
No one tuned in.
I didn't hear you.
No one tuned in because we've done it pre-recorded.
Yeah, that's true. Well, they're tuning in.
For the people that watch it and listen to it later. Yeah,
exactly. So again, a reminder, go on to YouTube and you can see our video podcast, which is a little different than the audio. And you will see some supporting video to the things that we're talking about.
Spotify and YouTube for the video podcast as well.
And we're up on TikTok as well. It's split into two on TikTok, but it's still X there
as well.
Spotify, our video is up there too, so you have a choice of video or audio there as
Facebook,
well.
Facebook
and YouTube Instagram. Is the same way, video or audio. So we're all over the place. You can pick us up wherever. And if you want to get into talking to us, you know, one on one or whatever, again, join our Discord, discord.gg/extremepodcast, stream gaming podcast, and then we can talk to you then. Until then,
no gaming quiz this week, people, because it's only me and Gray, and Gray only answers. So next week,
I know the answers, and he doesn't, and it's kind of goofy, and we don't have chat, and so we'll just hold off till next time, which is no problem. So again, thanks everybody. We will see you next time on Extreme Gaming Podcast. So long.
Bye.
I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start a flame in your heart.